The message I've got for tonight is called New Horizons. Keep looking up and keep looking out. It's really interesting because we all have dreams, don't we? We all have things that we aspire to, things that we want to achieve in our life. So, for example, for me, one of my dreams was I wanted to be a youth pastor. Like, that was all I wanted to do, and for a whole range of reasons, I never thought it was going to happen. Until it happened at the age of 30. And so the thing that, you know, I thought was going to define my life was I was, you know, finally going to get across the goal of becoming a youth pastor, and then suddenly I have arrived. You know, this is it. I'm exactly where God wants me to be. And there was a couple of really interesting things that have happened since then. One of the interesting things that happened is that because I achieved it at the age of 30, it became a case of, well, what now? Like that was the top of the mountain for me. That was the tip. That was the pinnacle of where I was going. And one of the things that I found is that as I reached that place, I realized that the horizon had changed. I realized that, you know, as a result of aspiring for greater things, you know, God actually gave me a vision for, you know, because I was at that higher place, I guess, I could actually look out and see that there were other things that were available as well. It gave me a viewpoint and an advantage point. It wasn't good enough just to be a youth pastor, because if all that I aspired to was to have the title of youth pastor, well, that's not actually going to have any eternal significance at all. You know, it was actually the raising up of the generations that would give me significance, or that, you know, that was the thing that God had placed on my heart. It wasn't so much that I became the best youth pastor in the world. It became more that I was lifting up the next generation and seeing what they got to do. And that was where a lot of the best satisfaction and the thing that I've most loved over the last few years has come from. Not the, you know, the great list of achievements, but from, you know, wow, look at what he's doing and look at what she's doing. I cannot believe that kid was that kid, you know. Just this snotty-nosed punk kid now running a skate ministry in Auckland or something, you know. I had this poem hanging on my wall in my old office, and it was something that really resonated with me, and it was by a guy called Sir Francis Drake. So Francis Drake was a bit of a big deal back in the 1500s. So, but this is the poem. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. We have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our effort to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas, where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hope and push into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. And the thing that poem says to me is that we can choose to have our dreams and our goals and our aspirations, or we can actually choose God's dreams for us. And one of them is going to be what we can achieve in our own strength, whereas the other one, it's going to take God, you know, it's even going to take us away from, you know, sight of land and sight of security and sight of all of that stuff, and suddenly we're in places that we've never been before. Where, you know, where we're having to rely on God to calm the storms, to be the one that's going to make the way straight for us. So my question for tonight is, what are we looking to and what are we looking towards? So if we're gonna start looking at how we can have greater horizons, have greater horizons, there's two things that we need to be able to do. We need to be able to look up to the one who created us, and we need to be able to look out. If we're just looking at where we're standing right here and right now, there's only a really... If you're standing up and you're looking just straight down, your peripheral vision is only focused on the ground in front of you. Like, you've got a really limited field of vision. Whereas if you're looking up or you're looking out, it's a far greater, far wider. You'll be able to see things that you wouldn't be able to see if you're just focusing on the here and the now. I wrote down the whole idea of quite often we sacrifice the eternally important on the altar of the day-to-day urgent. Sometimes the day-to-day urgent gets in the way of the stuff that in the long run is actually more eternally important to us. So if we focus on the here and now, we're at risk of becoming slave to the tyranny of the urgent. Like, urgency is our master. We need to do the to-do list becomes our master. And quite often the stuff on the to-do list is the get groceries, cook tea. Like, it's stuff which go from day to day to day. It will be urgent. It is stuff that needs to be achieved. But actually we lose sight of the greater significance, the greater thing that we could have. We have limited vision, but we've got a Father with unlimited vision. See, it's important to focus on the here and now, because if we don't focus on the here and now, what happens? It is important to focus on the here and now, because if we don't focus on the here and now, we lose those moment opportunities, those times where we see opportunities straight in front of us. You know, if we have an attitude of nothing but eternal significance, which is not a bad attitude to have, but actually you won't focus on the here and now. What you'll do is it's that pie in the sky when you die. If we just hold on for long enough, it'll all get better. Or we'll lose effectiveness in reaching out. We won't see the people that need our help straight in front of us. But on the other hand, if we just focus on the here and now, like I said, the urgent becomes our master. Mm. And urgent is not the same as important. Mm. So the first thing that we need to be able to do is we need to be able to look up. We need to be able to look up so that we can look to the skies, we can look to the stars, we can look to the unknown, we can look to the horizon. And there's actually an attitude, there's a spiritual attitude that we have of looking up. That takes us away from the situation in front of us and to a Father that's greater than any of those situations anyway. You know, Psalm 1:1 says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So if you need help, it doesn't matter what it is, I can look to my Father for help. I can look to the hills. I can look to the horizon. Psalms 3 says that, you know, the Lord's a lifter of my head. Again, it's that whole idea of, you know, instead of being downcast, look up. The thing that I wrote down here was it's a bit like a worldly example would be like assignments at uni. So like the goal and the long-term goal is to get that degree. The long-term goal is to get that qualification. But if we don't focus on our day-to-day assignments, well, actually, that goal's never going to be achieved anyway. Even if we're focused on the right goal, but we're not taking the right steps towards that goal, we're going to end up a different destination to the way that we were supposed to be going. Isaiah's pretty awesome. He's one of my favorite prophets. Isaiah is the man, and I think one of the things that I love about Isaiah is more than any other prophet that come before. The word that God placed on his heart was towards the Savior, towards so much looking towards the cross and looking towards what's to come. Isaiah was a man who looked towards the horizon, and one of the things that God said to him was this: Isaiah 40 verse 25 and 26. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up into the heavens, who created all the stars. He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. See, God hung the stars in the sky. Why would he hang the stars in the sky? Like, we can reach the moon. And we've got as far as some of the stars in the solar system. And there's the odd space probe that's gone beyond our solar system. But why hang the stars there? It's not just for God's pleasure, it's for our pleasure as well. And like we were saying before, for Abraham, he told Abraham to look at the skies and look to the skies, and that was the thing that, you know, inspired Abraham to father a nation. That was the promise of God that God had for him, that you would be a father of nations. Your descendants would number more than the stars in the sky. Which is pretty interesting, because that means that the full promise of the full promise that God had for Abraham is still not, it's still being worked out even today. So the full realization of the promise that that God gave to Abraham is still being realized. Mm. It's still happening. It's still playing out. See, one of the reasons we need to look up, look to the skies, is for divine inspiration. Like, we look to the heavens. We look to the things that, which are unknown. We look to the things that, we look for divine inspiration. Because the thing is as we reach out, as we go towards the horizon, as we go towards those things, there's a hopefulness that comes. Because that which isn't known is always going to be bigger than that which is known. So there's often going to be stuff that's outside anything that, there's often going to be stuff that's outside anything that we've ever experienced or hoped or dreamed, or, you know, we could spend our whole lives doing it, our whole lives going towards one thing, and it's still only a wee tiny speck on the potential of what's possible and what we could experience. Mm. We could spend our whole life seeking after God and the things that he has for us, and that's still only one wee part of the potential of all the stuff that we, that, you know. So there's hope that comes with that. There's hope that comes with looking up and seeing something which we may never go to, that we may never attain, but simply going towards it is actually going to take us places that we've never been before. You know, it's that whole idea that even if you're, the best is never behind you, the best has still got the potential to come, the best is still to come. That whole idea that we continue to press on towards the goal, not that I have attained it, but I continue to press on with this mighty cloud of witnesses. Throughout life, Victoria Osteen, Joel Osteen's wife, yeah, I think, she puts it this way: throughout life, we all have opportunities to either shrink back and settle where it's comfortable, or take a step of faith and embrace the new things God has in store. Mm. I love that attitude. I love that attitude of we can choose to become comfortable. It feels nice to be comfortable. There's an ease that comes with comfort. But actually, a lot of the times, God's going to take us to places which will make us uncomfortable. Mm. Out of our comfort zone. And even when we're operating in the giftings that he's given us, he's going to call us towards things which aren't possible in our own strength, for no other reason than if we could do stuff in our own strength, well, that doesn't actually show a loving God, an all-powerful God. You know, if we just do it, if we only ever operate out of what's possible for us, then the significance and the glory falls upon us. It doesn't glorify God. Psalm 136 puts it this way: give thanks to God, give thanks to him alone. Oh, sorry. Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles, his faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavens so skillfully, his faithful love endures forever. There's a theme coming through. Give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters, his faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavenly lights, his faithful love endures forever. The sun to rule the day, his faithful love endures forever. And the moon and stars to rule the night, his faithful love endures forever. God's the one who actually created the horizon. He put the boundaries. He separated light and darkness. He was the one who delineates things, who puts clear pathways and clear marks this far and no further. And quite often we put, quite often the boundaries that we operate out of are our own boundaries. It's the boundaries of our own, sometimes our own fear, or what we feel our identity is, or our experience up until this point. There's all kinds of things that means that we put stuff in place, we put boundaries in place that God hasn't necessarily put in place. You know, when his kind of boundaries that he's looking for is the separation between earth and sky, I mean, that's surely far greater than geographical boundaries. It's surely far greater than any place that we could, you know, we start walking in a certain direction. We could walk in our entire lives, and God's horizon, his boundary for us, is still going to be further ahead. Francis Chan puts it this way: as you learn to follow Jesus, you start learning that all of the things that he's saying to let go of and walk away from, these are actually things that were going to destroy you anyway. Job had a rough deal. So he had a You know, and a lot of us feel nothing but pity for Job, but he was a guy who was faithful in the hardest of situations. Even when his friends are giving what seemed like good advice to them, it wasn't godly advice. And he was still honouring God even through that situation. In Job 26, it says, he marks out the horizon on the face of the waters for a boundary between light and darkness. Again, there's boundaries that are put in place. Proverbs 8 talks about how when God put boundaries in place, wisdom was literally there. Like, it was wisdom personified. So in Proverbs 8, you know, you've got wisdom personified. It's this wonderful poem about, written in poetic form about, you know, at the beginning of the earth, there I was with God as he did all of this stuff. And so Proverbs 8, 20 to 31 says, I walk in righteousness and paths of justice. I love that whole idea. I walk in righteousness and paths of justice. There's places that we can just walk and feel comfortable where we're walking. We know that we're walking the paths of righteousness. Those who love me inherit wealth. So that's great. Those who love wisdom inherit wealth. I will fill their treasuries. The Lord formed me from the beginning before he created anything else. I love that whole idea. That wisdom was here before anything else. So as he puts stuff in place, as he creates the rules for the universe, wisdom was right there alongside this wisdom and what he's done. There's a trust that we can have in him. If that wisdom was the whole, you know, wisdom, love, the word, Jesus, like these were the things that were here before the creation of the world. I was appointed in ages past, at the very first, before the earth began. I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled forth their waters, before the mountains were formed, before the hills I was born, before he had made the earth and the fields and the first handfuls of soil. I was there when he established the heavens, when he drew the horizon on the oceans. I love that whole idea that he drew the horizons of the oceans like that. Just that idea that it's God who actually creates the boundary. You know, it's almost like he's ticking it on. You know, it's easy to do, like he's ticking it on Photoshop. He's like, like it was, you know, it's the original touch screen. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established springs deep in the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the seas so that they would not spread beyond their boundaries. And when he marked off the earth's foundations, I was the architect at his side. I was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence. And how happy I was with the world he created, how I rejoiced with the human family. I love that whole idea of, you know, this wisdom and looking up, this wisdom and looking out, looking towards the horizon. One of the things that as a result of that, as a result of looking out towards the heavens, as a result of looking out to what's to come, our focus becomes not on ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could say look in, look up, look out, and that would be okay. But I love the whole idea that our focus is not on ourselves, but on the one who made us, who declares over us and the world who needs us. Mm-hmm. See, one of the things that's amazing about having an infinite horizon, about, you know, going where we've never been before, is the fact that there's always hopefulness. If we stay in our comfort zone, what can sometimes happen is that our world gets smaller. There can be hopelessness because what we know at the moment is all that we think that what we know at the moment is all that we'll ever know. That there's a lack of prospects. And one of the great things that we get to do as Christians is that we have to encourage others to look up. We have to encourage others to look out. Because Ali, as a counsellor, you'll know people get wrapped up in their own situations, their own worldview, their own stuff, that they can't actually see that there's more than just beyond. If they could just get beyond the tunnel of where they are at the moment in the week, isolation island that they've put themselves on, like there's people that are wanting to reach out, there's people that they can connect with, there's significance that they can have, there's legacy that they can have that they won't have if they just stay in their own wee patch. See, See, the world of the generous gets larger. When we're generous with our resource, our words, our prayer, our declarations, it's not just our world that gets bigger, it's that everyone that we come in contact, their world gets bigger as well. It's God who defines our boundaries. It's God who defines our boundaries. It's not our situation. It's not the box that we put ourselves in. It's not our identity or what we perceive our identity to be. It's not the cage or the role that we feel society places on us. Shannon, the housewife. Exact, don't look at me in that tone of voice. Real or projected. Okay, that's projected, just by the way. His horizon is far greater than ours could ever be. His vision is omniscient, so he can see everything. He sees everything. He sees everything. He is both the telescope and the microscope and the filter which we need to look through. So we can look at situations with our own eyes, or we can look through God's eyes, where he's both the telescope and the microscope. He can see things far with far greater magnification than we can think of. And he can pull back far greater than we can think of as well, like a wide-angle lens. I love the fact that his vision is not our vision, and quite often we'll see it from a limit. We'll place God with a limited point of view. We think God can see this and he can see this, but he can't see this. One of the things that I wrote down is that if God does put boundaries in our play in place for us, if God does put boundaries in place for us, it means that when there are boundaries, where there's no go zones, where there's not yet zones, where there's you've got to be this tall to enter, you've got to have grown in this area to enter, or whatever it is, it's actually for a reason. When we were placed in the Garden of Eden, right at the start, there was one no-go zone. Don't eat from that fruit. And it wasn't because we couldn't. It was because if we did, it would actually, you know, it wouldn't benefit us. It was something that was going to destroy us. The consequence of that was death. So what do we do about it? Well, now what? I guess there's two things. One of the things I want to encourage you for today is we need to look up for inspiration. No matter our situation, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter where we think our destination's going to be, we need to look up. We need to look up to the one who created us, the one who's hung the stars in the sky, who called them out by name. Not one thing is missing. We need to look out to those ever-expanding horizons. Have you ever noticed we never reach the horizon? It's God who places boundaries. It's not where we fear to tread. So here we go. This is my altar call for tonight. I believe God's telling us that we're coming into a time where it's time for us to dream bigger. It's that whole idea that, you know, disturb us, Lord, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. We need to decide, or we need to choose the dreams that God's got for us rather than just our own dreams. Because even if our dreams are something which we think are unattainable, we know for a fact that God's going to put dreams in us that he wants us to have. So in your situation at the moment, are you looking up? In your situation at the moment, are you looking out? So there's two things I've wanted to pray for tonight, and I'll stop the thing in a minute. Is that I believe one of the things that's going to happen tonight is that there's going to come a time where we're going to be breaking out of our box. You know, whether it's our own expectations, whether it's our disappointments, whether we've chosen our dreams over his dreams. I guess my prayer for you guys tonight is disturb us, Lord. Disturb us, Lord. Disturb us, Lord.